Tonight, I want us to focus on a question, and that question is, how is your memory? Now, every one of us, over 50, every one of us over 20, sometimes we think to ourselves or we'll talk to ourselves or talk to someone else and say, you know, it's horrible. I can't remember anything anymore. I'm losing my ability to remember things. Okay, let me ask you this right at the beginning. I want you to think about something. When you and I think about how bad it is that, you know, well, I don't know, I can't remember that situation, I can't remember this. One thing I want you to remember, you've got more in your mind and over life to remember than you've ever had. We try to store into our automatic instant recall memory banks within our mind, we try to store more stuff than our brain can handle. Did you all see that TV? It's on History Channel. I watch it all the time. It's about my it says my bleeping brain. And I watch that a lot, and it's amazing to how your brain pulls tricks on you. I remember on Tiananmen Square when they held up the picture, says, what is this? And each one of the different people said, oh, that's Tiananmen Square. That was, well, and I looked at it and I said, no, it isn't. But that's what they were saying, so I thought, maybe it is. I didn't remember. But, and I was right. It was a picture, but it had on the left side, you had people lined up watching as the guy stood in front of the tank. You remember that? Stands in front of the tank. Well, they had a guy standing in front of the tank, but nothing else was going on. And then with Whistler, Mona Lisa, the portrait on it, pulled it up and said, what is this? And it's an original. And they said, yes, the Mona Lisa. And you look at it, and again, do you remember Mona Lisa having a UFO flying behind her? And there was a spaceship, and right down to the left of her was the Loch Ness Monster. But the brain only focused on that, you know, the face and one part of it. We do the very same thing today with our memory, but our problem is think of how much stuff you've had to try to digest in your mind just today. And then add on the rest of the week, and then add on yesterday and things past and all the world coming in on you, and you're trying to keep all of that in memory bank. Here's what I want us to look at. We need to focus on a memory of if nothing else, folks, we need to remember what God has told us about our eternal life and about how much He loves us. Do you realize that Scripture tells us that when we get to heaven, those who have accepted Jesus Christ guaranteed you're going to heaven. When we get to heaven, what a glorious time. There will be shouting and the excitement of getting to heaven. And yet we spend more time down here thinking about putting in our memory things that we can't do anything about. We can't change, but yet it's back there, and we get sad, and we get up, our heart's broken because, well, I never thought they'd do this, and I never thought this, and we never really focus on our reward that is promised. Do you know, maybe if you and I would deal with today as today, and do our best, and listen, I fail on this all the time. The things that happened yesterday, I couldn't do anything with it yesterday. So what do? I try to pile it on today to take care of. And what I need to be doing is like I do on my desk a lot of times, as you all know, I've got this is very, very important today, and you go right on down the list, and each day I slide everything down. On the other side, on the left side, if you all have noticed, I have a trash can. So by the end of the week, whatever was so important at the beginning just gets trashed. And maybe we need to do that with our brain. Maybe we need to do that with our memory. Here's the first question. Do you remember where war began? Revelation 12, 7 through 9. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angel fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. Let me remind you again on this, because we did a study in Revelation where you heard it. Let me remind you again something on this that people are mistaken over, Christians are. People said, well, Satan declared war, or Lucifer declared war against God and his angels. No. God declared war against Lucifer and his angels. Now, how do we know that? Look back in verse 7 and Revelation 12. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels did what? Fought back. They were attacked by God's design, which would give us a picture or a memory of God declared war against evil. He declared war against evil not only in heaven, but he declared war against evil in our memory banks, war against evil throughout eternity. And he said, and I'm going to conquer. So we find what happened was, but he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. Don't let somebody tell you they can explain that to you, because they can't. We don't know what kind of place it was. All we can say was, yeah, it was a high place. We understand that, you know, it was pretty great. You and I are thinking, I'm tickled to death at any place in heaven, right? Okay, and yet, I want you to think of this. The Christian that, oh, let's say, and I don't know how to put it, but the Christian individual that just slides by the hair of their chinny-chin-chin into heaven, meaning all life they served hell, and then all of a sudden, a true commitment within him, they accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. The God that you and I serve, and the love and the mercy that you and I receive, is no greater than the mercy and the grace and the love that he will show to that individual. And people, therefore the story of the prodigal son comes in, people feeling sorry for the son at home and all of this. What are you feeling sorry for him for? He got his inheritance, remember? And he got to stay at home and never have to worry about his inheritance. He had it and lived off dad. So that was pretty good. But the same thing within heaven. And he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. Verse 9, the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. And the shout came, watch out, boys, he's coming. That's a paraphrase. Y'all caught that one, right? God let us know. Now, remember where war began. So therefore, you and I know that God declared war against evil in heaven. How much greater declaration for his children? Remember why you see in Scripture God hates sin? God hates sin because of what sin does to you and me. anything that's gone. Do we not hate cancer? Do we not hate to see it on our friends? Do we not hate to look in a paper and see that a 60-year-old Tom Coffey is dead, who loved the Lord, who wanted to serve the Lord, and I mean, just a great personality, period, that everybody loved? What happened? One thing I can tell you, looking at that man when he accepted Christ through baptism, then through his call into the ministry, Tom Coffey loved Jesus. Now, Jesus took him on home. Don't let me say it that way. I don't know what the key is for us on the deal with cancer and all the other things that attack us, that kill us. And while I'm at it, I'm going to bring this to you. Because I've listened to people lately about their prayer. And I've listened to people that will make this statement. And the statement is, you know, I've served God. And then they say all of those 1,000 years that they've served the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness, and I have followed where He's led me. Yet I got on my knees and I prayed for a child, and how old that child had become to manhood. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and God never answered that prayer, that my son would say yes to Jesus Christ, accept Him as Lord and Savior. Okay, let me lead us Christians into something that we need to really think on. When God sets in order eternity and earth, and sets in order the place where the human race will be, where Mother Nature will be, and all the animals and all that, where, and He sets all of this in order, why do we think that God will say, oh, okay, let's say, Lord, I prayed for Bob and prayed for Bob that he accept your son as Lord and Savior. Here's something that we're missing there. God is not going to change the way salvation is received. Salvation is not received by me. Well, Gene must be saved because Brother Larry prayed for her. The way God has said it is an individual must be willing to accept Him. God's not going to take away and say, well, because somebody prayed for you, I'm going to make you become a Christian. He does not change what He set in motion. Now, it doesn't mean that God failed in the answer of your prayer. What it does mean is, when somebody says that, is this. I prayed. That's what God calls me to do. That's what God calls you to do. We pray, but God then reveals Himself. That's how God answered the prayer. God revealed Himself to that individual. Time and time again, when we get to heaven, you may see how many times that person was given a chance. But God will not take free will away from any of us. We have the freedom to choose. So when you hear somebody, you know, you may want to say it a little more gently than I do, but you need to, you know, let them know that. Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
With the praying for somebody, you know, that they accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, wouldn't it be more important to, or could it be possible that maybe, you know, even though that you pray, you know, to the Lord, you know, I mean, that your son maybe accepts, you know, Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Could it be that the son might not see the Lord really working in the father's life? So even so that you pray to the Lord, you know, it's like, but the son doesn't see the...
Okay.
Well, maybe not all.
No, I know what you're saying. You're saying is that, you know, the leadership is within the home or wherever, or profession, but that son does not see Christ in the Father, and that yes, he does not see that relationship, so therefore the child backs away. The answer is no. And let me clarify what I'm saying no to. That does not have a thing to do with the power of Christ. When I pray, then God says, Larry, this is what we do. We pray. Okay, the ignorance of an individual has no power over the power of the Holy Spirit. Meaning, if I pray for someone, then I guarantee we are to understand that God says, I will answer your prayers. He does, but God is not obliged to let us in on how. He is God. But no, that cannot stop that individual. If I had to have a role model before I accepted Jesus, I would have been in a bad shape. So would a lot of you all been in a bad shape. The role model other than Jesus Christ is the wrong role model. Remember which war causes the greatest devastation? 1 Peter, you all make sure you keep this one because I have a lot of stuff when people, you may be in a conversation, you go back and pick this up because you'll have the scripture on it. Remember which war causes the greatest devastation? 1 Peter 2:11-12, dear friends, I urge you as aliens, I guess they're going to have to take that one out of the Bible. We're not allowed to say aliens anymore, are we? Then that's it. You can't say illegals. I can say aliens. I guess God can say anything he wants to, right? Okay. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world. Now listen, a Christian, and Peter's talking to Christians. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world. Why am I classified an alien in this world? Because this is not my home. This is not my world. Folks, our home is waiting for us. Our home, you're not going to have to air condition. Our home in the world that God has made for us is a home so great that you and I should get excited about the focus of one day we're going to leave this world. I worry about people that don't want to leave this world. But it just frightens me for them. Because if this is all there is, oh, let me see. Who was that said that we're of all men most miserable? Okay, somebody out there email me. Text me. Tell me what that. If this is all we have, then we are of all men most. No, if there is no resurrection, then we are of all men most miserable. If Christ did not come back from the grave, we've had it. There's no hope. But then he did. But who was the one who made that statement? Okay. Verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans. That was us before we got saved. That though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. On the day he visits us. All of the big theologians, none of them can agree on what that means. I get excited because he's going to visit us. And he's going to visit us on the day that he chooses. So therefore, I don't have to know when it is, right? Can you imagine how miserable we'd be if we knew what's going to happen tomorrow? We'd change it. Okay, here's the next one. Remember Jesus' sword. Matthew 10:34-36. Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. Listen to this. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. This is Jesus speaking, folks. And they say, but Jesus is the great peacemaker. Blessed is the peacemaker, for they shall see God, right? Blessed is that peacemaker. Where the world picks up on that is this. They classify that Jesus or his word means that we are to be peacemakers, such as with Islam and the Jewish and the Christian. Folks, should not every one of us be mourning because of what happened in Egypt Monday morning or Tuesday morning? Do you know that there was a 10-year-old girl killed in Egypt, shot to death? Well, yeah, they got war going on. No, because she was a Christian. Shot because she was a Christian. Killer. So think of that. So what the Lord is saying, I have come to bring peace. Don't think that I have. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Let me finish it. It even get you more confused. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Well, that ain't hard to do. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Oh, that's right. Members of his own household. Folks, the greatest enemies you will have will be members of your own family or friends of your own family. Okay. What Jesus' enemies, greatest enemies he had was his family, including Mary, his mother, because they thought he was crazy. She loved him so much, but she was convinced because of the half-brothers that he may have lost his mind because out of love, and yet she knew the prophecy. So that's how the mind plays tricks on us. That's how things do. You know, what I see is one thing, but what God's told me is something else. So faith comes in and where I trust what God says. I see the bad guys coming at me. God says, Larry, I've called you to this mission. I want you to go across and walk right through the middle of where the bad guys are. Now, as you start walking, you better hope that God told you. And it's not a trick that Satan tells you to do it. But you walk through and you have the protection. Wherever God sends you, don't you worry about finding a way there. Paul, he had no way to go to Rome. Had no money. Gosh, I guess they robbed him every time they beat him. He wouldn't have anything left, would he? So only way he could go to Rome was to plead guilty of a crime he didn't commit and then declare to go before Caesar. And because he was a Roman, born Roman, not bought, they knew they better send him. And so he gets there, he preaches, and they kill him. But he preached, and we've still got the messages today. That was God's plan. Okay. Jesus says, I've come to turn a man against his father. What's he talking about? He wants war in the family? Here's exactly what he's talking about. Folks, Christian, when you truly accept Christ as Lord and Savior of your life and you stand for what is right, the fathers will turn against them. The mothers will turn against their own children, the ones trying to do what is right. You will find that relatives and all will turn against them if they don't understand the Word of God also. I've told you all, and Faye will let you know the same thing. When I was called to preach, everyone turned against me, including my own wife, not believing it, until that first Sunday when I preached, and she walked the aisle. And I'm thinking, gosh, I thought she was already saved here. I wonder how long I'll have to hold her under. But now we can't. Oh, that's right. And you think about that. And I think about that. And she walked out and came up and hugged my neck. And she said, I now know God did call you to preach. You preach go to school, go back to school, you do what you need to do, and I'll take care of you. And I said, that sounds good. A banker tells you they're going to take care of you, you take them up on it, right? Okay. Here's the next one. Remember who Jesus sent to testify about the truth? Now, remember on that note, Jesus sent a sword. The sword was sent, and the sword is his word. Anybody of the family that rejects the word of Christ is the enemy of Christ. If they're an enemy of Christ, they're an enemy of yours. I don't care how close the relation is. How many people have you seen that lives with husbands or wives, and one tries to talk the other out of going to church or talk the other one out of truly serving the Lord? You all have watched it right here with men that were called to preach, and every one of us knew it, and their wives were embarrassed for them to do it because they weren't educated. I wish we had a few more uneducated individuals that accept the call and allow Christ to educate them with it. Remember who Jesus sent to testify about the truth? John 15, verse 26 and 27. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, does that not take in all three of them? The Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. To who? To me and to you. When we were under conviction, it was the Holy Spirit that put us under conviction. He testified that Jesus is real, who's knocking on your heart. You and I knew that, and we said yes, and we didn't understand anything other than, yes, I believe. And that's all I need to understand is, yes, I believe. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. He's talking to his disciples. He said, the testimony that you're going to receive. Now, see, again, God bless them. They is having a hard time with him when he talked like this, because he's going away. And unless, if he doesn't go away, the Comforter won't come. And they're trying to say, what is he talking about? Why can't we go with him? And then after they come under conviction by the Holy Spirit about their calling, nobody could stop them. They didn't run as they did at the crucifixion. They didn't run from the battle. They ran right in the middle of it. And you and I have that word today, because they were given a command. You also must testify. If because of their testimony that we have called the Bible, you and I then can read the scriptures, know it's God's word, and the Holy Spirit speak to us, are we not also then called to testify of the same spirit? When you go into from one Christian church to another, you automatically walk in and you have a relationship with the folks because they too are Christian. Remember the reason that Jesus gave as to why no non-Christian people and nations would want to kill Christians. Now, remember the reason that Jesus gave as to why non-Christian people and nations would want to kill Christians. Here it is. And you see it today. This week, 10-year-old slaughtered because she believed Jesus. Boy, can you imagine the blessing when that little kid walked through that door? Woo. John 16, 1 through 4. All this I have told you, this Jesus, so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. Hey, kicking them out of church. In fact, a time is coming. We're living in that day right now, folks, this time. A time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. Allah Akbar. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Well, Jesus was telling them, okay, I'm going to give you a warning. This is what you need to look out for. When I was with you, you didn't have to worry about it because I could take care of it. I'm gone. Get you a couple of swords. Be prepared as human beings. I will return. But all of this is going to be brought back to your memory. Does not that with training as we go into combat? And we were told and told and told by the sergeant majors, first sergeants, or whoever, remember your training. And they didn't get shot at, and you don't remember your name, much less anything else, you know, when it started. So, but you remember the guidelines, remember the training. Here's the last one. Remember how we can recognize, this is really important, how we can recognize the difference between the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Antichrist. Here it is. 1 John 4, verses 1 through 4. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Boy, you've learned that one, haven't you? But test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. This is how Scripture says, Jesus tells us himself, how you can recognize another Christian. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Every spirit. Think of that. God says, this is the way you will know. If a person says, well, no, Jesus did not come in the flesh. That was the Spirit of God coming in. No. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and when they say that, they are of God. Meaning, you all remember me telling you the story about our state trooper, Gene, and his wife that had joined and all out on, Anyway, and he said, I know, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Remember, I told you all that story, and I said, go, you're playing golf every day. Anyway, so you know people there that are lost. And he said, yeah, David, yeah. And he said, Brother Larry, that ain't, I said, you just try it today, and you come back and tell me. That day, he comes walking in my office and sits down. He said, I never saw anything like it. They couldn't say it. I said, not only they couldn't, they wouldn't. If a person truly is of God, then every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. David said, well, anybody will just say that. And I said, no, they won't. And he hid several of them. And he said, they never said it. And I thought for sure I'd come back and get a dinner or something. Okay, verse 3. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming. Now listen, and even now is already in the world. Verse 4, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Again, it is the Spirit of Christ in us, yet the multitudes upon multitudes of the Antichrist, and people say, well, who is this Antichrist? Anyone who says that Jesus Christ is not Lord is Antichrist. Now, in this, John is letting them know there are already many among you. There were many in the church trying to change the structure of the church being the body of Christ to the church being something else that was Antichrist. Do you not see the Antichrist today and listen to him? Oh, there's another way. When Jesus says there's not another way, is that not anti-Christ? But here's what we need to take stock in also. What you and I think of today is the ultimate, the anti-Christ who comes and you know, for the battle against God and all of that. Is he already here? I have no idea. But you know something? I don't care.
You said there are many.
Yes.
Antichrist, but this says Antichrist singular. You're saying plural.
That's correct. There are many Antichrists, though. Many people who, okay, Antichrist is singular and plural. Antichrist, anything anti-Christian, anti-Jesus, you could say. So it is both in the plural. Yes. Yeah. What you know, and we look at that and we say, well, that's simple. Okay. No, it will be. But these are the. There will be many antichrist or people that will usher in the great Antichrist who rules the world and does all that. No, there will be one great Antichrist. Gosh, everybody's been accused of being that for years. I don't get into that because I got enough Antichrists that are out there just on an everyday basis. So you remember, you all will, remember the day when the inmates and all would be so excited about telling the judge that they've accepted Christ now as Lord and Savior, and the judge would let them out early. Gosh, those days are long gone. Every inmate in prison said they believed in Jesus if I could get out early.